Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're tuning in to Taylor Tech Stories with myself, Ben Taylor. And today we've got Brandon Wright coming in from Barnacle Systems. He's the CEO. He started 4 years ago and he's doing fantastically well. So, Brandon, I'll pass straight over to yourself to introduce what your company does and what you're all about. And then we'll go into your story.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks so much for having me, Ben. And so nice to be here. So I'm Brandon, Barnacle Systems. We develop hardware that you place on board your boat that allows you to check in remotely from your smartphone, tablet, or computer. So we provide battery monitoring, bilge monitoring, shore power monitoring, but we have a very strong focus on security. So we have cameras, wireless sensors, laser sensors, things like that. And we protect recreational boats in over 30 countries. And we've just recently gotten into the military and government space where we're protecting Coast Guard and military vessels here in Canada.
Nice. That's super cool. Because I love, well, security is cool anyway, but tech around security is just amazing to hear about and what it's all about. So let's rewind. Let's go to the start. So you're coming out of school, you're coming out of university, wherever that might be. Where's the first job? What's the first step?
Yeah, so I graduated from the University of Victoria here in Canada and with an electrical engineering degree. I went straight into developing life safety systems. So systems that were used to protect highways and automatically detect traffic accidents. Our first ever project was pretty neat, determining whether there was fog on a highway in California and automatically detecting accidents and telling people backstream to slow down. But that escalated really quickly for me. And I ended up at a company called FLIR after a couple of acquisitions, developing remote security and monitoring for royal palaces in the Middle East for the borders of countries. So developed a system to protect Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, a big chunk of the US-Mexico border. And then that escalated further to developing security for the NSA, the CIA, FBI. And so spent about 7 years in the Middle East developing these types of systems. Things got pretty intense with all of that. But I'll take a breath in case you have any intermediate questions. But
how do you end up doing security for the FBI?
With my background, I've been doing software since I was probably 10 years old. And then I went into electrical engineering to get away from software. But then my skill set with being an electrical engineer with a very strong software background got me into systems. And so my skill set was developing remote monitoring equipment that could communicate over cellular, satellite, with high reliability, very rugged features, things like that. But our systems just slowly sold into more important asset tracking type of environments. So working our way up to doing like highly classified drone bases in Yemen, which the one base in particular is now public knowledge, but it all just kind of escalated. It was one of those things where we just kept targeting more important projects. And it just took me all over the world developing these systems. So it was a wild ride. It was almost a decade of doing that stuff. But it was one step at a time getting up to doing full, highly classified military outfits.
Hey, that's crazy. And is it kind of a series of small steps? And then you reflect on it and go, wait, we went from this to this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we went from doing like the $10 million like highway monitoring systems to like $500 million systems with radars and thermal cameras and fence detection and underground vibration sensors and all communicated wirelessly back to like a surveillance vehicle, which would then transmit it back to a command center that might be somewhere else in the world. And then being the project manager and systems engineer for those, having to deal with personalities like working directly with the chief of staff of a country or four-star generals. I got to present to the U.S. Secretary of Defense on how to properly protect a border using technology. It was all just like the corporate elevator is what I call it. I didn't take the corporate ladder. I took the corporate elevator where we just developed technology that proved itself in the field. And then when we had one successful project, a group that was a little bit more with bigger wallets basically would sign on for the next project and then the next one. And yeah, it got all the way to doing like royal palaces and getting to hang out on the King of Dubai's island and things like that. So it was a wild ride. It was a wild ride.
Okay, that's nuts. So one thing you hinted at is that got a little bit much. Is that right?
Yeah. So at the end, so this was, gosh, I don't even know now, I guess 6 years ago. The last job site I was at is now a declassified CIA base in Yemen, where 2 weeks after I left, someone went in and bombed it. And so I was within 2 weeks of not existing, basically. And then 2 days after finding out that information, I found out I was having a kid. So I thought that the whole world is telling me that I shouldn't be doing this type of travel anymore. I shouldn't be doing that. And so I ended up leaving that job as a result of those events. But now my daughter's 6 years old and stoked and in kindergarten and all that. And yeah, very happily not spending a lot of time in classified military bases.
Yeah, and you're safe and happy. So protecting someone's boat, even if it's some like my pride and joy, that's a lot less intense than like government buildings and military.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that whole process happened fairly organically as well. When I left my job at FLIR and government systems, I started a job as a product manager developing equipment for forest firefighters so they could remotely monitor the weather and understand where the weather was moving to. And they could use cameras all communicating over satellite or cellular and just protecting forest firefighters while they're actually doing their job. And then also developed smart sensors that were used to detect floods automatically in the United States, where now there's 10,000 of these flood detection systems deployed in places like Louisiana and all over Arizona and all over the United States, 10,000 of them now, as I mentioned. But then my personal boat, after 2 years of doing that, my personal boat broke moorage, floated to shore, and never told me. And so it was really embarrassing for me because my whole career has been protecting assets and developing smart sensors, and I didn't have anything on my own boat. And I did a market analysis as a product manager. My job was to analyze a market, understand the gaps, and develop products in response to that. And 4 years ago in 2017, the market was really saturated with very legacy technology. And now, over the past 4 years, developing the product and launching it has just been an exciting road. And so when I saw what was available then, it just seemed like a no-brainer to take what I've learned from developing military-grade equipment, highly reliable, highly rugged sensors, and deploying them on boats. It felt so natural. And not having to fear for my life on a day-to-day basis is great. So yeah, that's kind of the evolution of how we got to where we're at today in terms of my career.
Right, got you. Yeah, thank goodness somebody didn't actually try and nick the boat. I mean, goodness knows what would have happened to them.
Oh man, yeah, no doubt. Well, yeah, right now it's the worst that's happened is I've caught my dad on board stealing some beer. So I'm grateful that since the event of my boat breaking moorage, we haven't had any significant events.
Right, okay, cool. Right, and so looking forward, mm-hmm. I always like to finish on looking forward because it's exciting, it's kind of what's coming up. So right now you're running a very successful company, and I feel like this kind of technology is an emerging tech. I feel like consumers are growing closer and closer with affinity to this type of product. Where are you kind of thinking of taking the company? What are you thinking of doing personally? Mm-hmm. Where's the vision?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of history repeating itself, I guess. But in this market, trust and confidence has been a big deal. There's a lot of people that still don't trust these types of smart products, these connected products. And so we took the avenue, leveraging my old contacts and my old experience in government, to really go after military and government vessels. So now we're protecting 75% of our harbor patrol vessels in Canada, for example. We're now protecting a huge swath of Canadian Coast Guard vessels. Didn't realize that these vessels were previously unprotected. So for us, we're developing really rugged systems for these types of environments. But we see ourselves really going upmarket more towards the super yacht industry because they really want that pedigree and that seal of approval that I've got a military grade system that's trusted by the Royal Canadian Navy or by the Coast Guard or whatever it might be. So for us, we see a lot of opportunity down market with smaller boats and all that. But our experience at Barnacle, the team that I've built and the team that we've developed as a group, really has a strong background in big systems and big military type systems. So for our vision, we're really wanting to see ourselves at like the Monaco Yacht Show and the Dubai Yacht Show and things like that, which we already sell into all those regions already with Barnacle. But I don't know, there's something about the big prestigious yachts that's also fun and just a fun market to be in.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see how their approach and the influence of the military and past projects could just be perfectly applicable to Superyacht. And, you know, how do you test these systems?
Yeah, so, I mean, for us, we've got hundreds of systems on boats with individuals that share constant feedback with us, and some of them more vocal than others. But we just have hundreds of units that are used as test units all around the world. And then with the government systems, I mean, they've put them through hell and back. I mean, they really scrutinize on data privacy, data security, all the just the ruggedization of features. In the course of the entire existence of the company, we've only had 3 units shipped back to us, where 2 of them were self-inflicted wounds where we loaded the wrong firmware remotely, and then one of them someone put 120 volts to a 12 volt input. So far we've had such incredible success with the hardware based on our team's experience in developing products. But yeah, all of our testing is done by folks that are salty and generally unhappy with with technology. Like my father-in-law, for example, he's going to be 80 soon. He's one of our user experience testers, where he's crossed the Atlantic a number of times. He only has a smartphone because we forced him to have a smartphone. And if he can figure out how to use our system, then we figure that pretty much anyone can use it. Hopefully he doesn't watch this episode.
Yeah, you'll find out probably too late.
Right. I'll get a nasty knock on the door later.
What have you been saying about me? Right, hey, look, Brandon, thank you so much for coming on and telling us your story. It's really cool to hear about, and we'll keep in touch. Big thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ben. So happy to be here.
All right, everybody, you've been listening to Taylor Tech Stories here on Yachting International Radio. I will be back next week with another Taylor Tech story for you all. So for now, goodbye, and we'll see you next week.